Let's go ahead and begin. First off, over in John chapter 10. In John, how many are there? I want you to see this verse. We could quote it, but I want you to see it. John chapter 10. How many are there? Okay, good. Now, I want you to look in the 10th verse. Jesus makes a statement, and he says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Now, let's think about what he's saying here for a moment. We know the part about the thief, but I want to focus in on what Jesus said. He said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Now, what does that say? Well, here's what comes through to me. First off, he says, "I've come that they might have life." All right? Then what that means is they didn't have life until he came along, right? And that they might have it more abundantly. So that also tells me that they didn't have abundant life until he came along. That means that when it comes to having life and having life more abundantly, it's all based upon what Jesus has done for us. So if I begin to take a look at what he's done for me, I can begin to see that not only do I have life, but I have it more abundantly. Well, you know, we can go off on all kinds of tangents when you start talking about the abundant life. And there have been all kinds of sermons preached about living the abundant life. Well, we're going to take a look at this from a little bit different perspective. And I want you to think for just a moment. And don't get all spiritual on me. You know, you start talking to some people about, "Are you living the abundant life?" And they focus on, "Oh, yeah, my name's written on the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm going to heaven. Jesus is my Savior. I'm born again. Hallelujah! What could be more abundant than to have the life of God?" Well, that's true. But notice in here that Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So it's not just a matter of having life, it's a matter of having abundant life. Do you see this? So in other words, the ability to have abundant life is based first on having life itself. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have life. We pass from death to life. We're born again with the life of the Father. Now I want to know about abundant life. Since I've started off with Jesus as my Savior and I've received that life, then I need to know more about this abundant life. All right, now let's try and create an analogy here. In the natural, when you're born, the day that you were born into the whatever family, the Johnson family, the Nelson family, the Meredith family, whatever your family was. And I know that some of you, like Judy, wasn't born into the Nelson family. She was born into the whatever her maiden name family was. But you understand what I'm saying, right? So when you were born into this world, you were born into that family. That was life. You now had the life of Martin flowing through you, or you now had the life of Johnson flowing through you, or whatever family you were born into. You now had that life. Well, that was the starting point. Because not only were you born into that family, but you also had access to everything that came with that family. So if your family, let's say that you were born into the Cartwright family, all right? And Ben Cartwright is your daddy. Now, not only do you have the life of Cartwright, but you also have everything that comes with being a Cartwright, correct? You've got all that ranch, and you have all the cattle, and you have all the horses, and you have Hop Sing to cook your dinner for you. How many of you remember that show? All right, good, I'm not that old. Hallelujah. So in other words, everything that comes along with being a Cartwright, you now have it. So it's not just that you were born into the family and have the life of Cartwright. You have everything that comes with being a Cartwright. So put it this way. When you were born, you not only got Cartwright life, but you got the abundance of the Cartwright family. Can you see this? Okay. Now that we're born again, we not only have the life of God, but we have everything that comes with the family. Amen? Not only do we have His life as the starting point, but we also have everything that comes with that life. Now let me show you a passage. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 16. It says, "The Spirit itself," talking of the Holy Spirit, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So what do we see here? We see that not only have we been born again, and we have received the life of God, but also we are joint heirs of everything in that family. And the Holy Spirit is trying to get that across to us. He's saying, look, you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, so you now have that life, but you also have the abundant life of being a joint heir with Jesus Christ. So everything that comes with being a part of that family, it's yours. Everything. And it's like he gives us this little reminder in verse 32. It's like, please think with me. It's like the Holy Spirit is talking to us. Please think with me. If God's not going to spare his own son for you, then don't you think that right along with him, he's going to freely give you all things? Don't you think that, why would you think that he's going to hold anything back from you? If he's not going to spare his own son, then for crying out loud, you've got to understand that your Father has also made available to you everything that comes along with being a part of this family. You not only have the life, but you also have it abundantly. Now, let's think in practical terms. What does the abundant life mean to me on a daily basis? We can talk about, oh yes, amen, Brother Martin, I know we'll have abundant life when we get to heaven. Well, praise God, by then it's kind of late, isn't it? I mean, I don't mean to diminish what we'll have when we get to heaven, but when I get to heaven, I'm not going to be facing the problems I'm facing here on earth. So when we talk about abundant life, I need to know what abundant life means. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That means once I have the life, I also have access to the abundant life now. Not will have it more abundantly, but have it more abundantly. That means there's a beginning point. The beginning point is Jesus. And it not only begins there, but it continues from that point and carries over into eternity. So therefore, when I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I now have life, but I have a starting point of the abundant life. Well, the key is to find out what is the abundant life. And again, relative to practical things, I want to know what kind of abundant life I can have. Now, this is not, you know what, at this point, I could go two directions. I could really hit you hard with a prosperity message, could I not? That's not what I'm going to do. Although we are going to mention prosperity in this, okay? But that's not what this is about. Now, we want to know the practical aspects, some of them. I mean, we don't have time tonight to go through everything. But I'm going to point out just a few to you at the beginning part of this. Practical things that are a part of my abundant life. Practical things that I have inherited as a result of being a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Well, let's start in Philippians. Some of these passages, you know, we could again quote them. But Philippians chapter 4. Because the Bible talks about how that, in Hebrews especially, how that we have an inheritance, but not only do we have this inheritance, but it's based upon better covenant, better promises, so on and so forth. Well, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Now, if we went back and studied out this entire book, Philippians, we'd find out that verse 19 is not speaking only of spiritual things, it is speaking also of practical things, because this verse 19 is directly connected to financial offerings that were given to Paul. And so he says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by who? Christ Jesus." Now, who am I joint heir with? Christ Jesus. Okay, then that must mean that financial and material need is included in my inheritance. In other words, the supply of that need is included in my inheritance. Because it's by Christ Jesus. If I'm a joint heir with Christ and it's telling me right here, by Christ Jesus, that means this is a part of my abundant life now. See, I'm not going to need money when I get to heaven. What will it do for me? If I'm going to be walking on streets of solid gold, what good's money going to do? And besides that, what currency? Euros? Francs? Yen? Dollars? What currency? So it's not going to make any difference up in heaven. It's now. It's right here. It's now. So my God supplies all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So I can argue about the prosperity message all I want, or somebody can come against it all they want, or we can fuss and fight about how it's been abused all we want, but one thing our arguments, discussions, and debates will not change is Philippians 4:19. Regardless of what we think about it or believe about it, we're not going to change the fact that this verse is in here. Somebody might say, well, yeah, but that was only a promise to the Philippian church. That's impossible. Because if we're all joint, that means that the promise of being a joint heir is only for the Romans, at the Roman church. No, Philippians 4:19 is an inheritance for the entire body of Christ. Back then when it was written, and today. So therefore, I know this is a part of my inheritance. I may not be living in it, and I may be struggling big time in the area of material and financial things, but that doesn't change Philippians 4:19. That's still a part of my inheritance. It's mine. Whether I do anything with it or not, it's still a part of my inheritance. And please don't misinterpret this to think that I'm making reference to having, you know, a fleet of Cadillacs parked in our garages. That is not what I'm making reference to. I'm talking about, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If I have a need to give money to ministries to support the spread of the gospel, then God has a way of meeting that need. If God, if God wants me to give, you know, $500 a month to different ministries, to my church and to these other different ministries and so forth, divide $500 10 different ways to 10 different ministries, $50 a piece, then you know what? I need that $50. But I can't sacrifice the food and the heat and the water and everything else to do that. So therefore, I have a need to have my bills paid, and I also have a need for the extra $500 so that I can give what God's wanting me to give. My God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. This is my inheritance. And you know what? People talk about God giving them money. Well, you know what? In the most literal sense, that has never happened. Ever. Somebody has given money to somebody, but God's never given money to anybody. God, when's the last time God, oh yeah, Brother Martin, he, you know, last year we had a big need, God showed up with $1,000. Really? What did he look like? When God gave you the money, what did he look like? He moved through people. You see what I'm saying? He moves through people. He doesn't knock on your front door and hand you a check. I don't know what bank he uses. He does not hand you a check. So what I'm getting at is God moves through people to do this. Different ways, different methods, and so forth. However, this right here, this verse, is a part of my inheritance. Now let's look at something else. 1 Peter chapter 2. And there are other verses we could look at relative to financial and material things. But we're just getting examples here. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 24. It says, who his own self bear our sins in His own body on the tree. Now, obviously, he's talking about Jesus, right? That we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Okay? Now, there are other verses about healing that we could look at. This is the only one we're going to focus on for the moment. So now I see a reference to Jesus. Now I see, and I already know about my inheritance and all this other. It comes from God through Jesus. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. So therefore, this healing, that's a part of my inheritance. Whether I believe in healing, whether I believe in laying on of hands, whether I believe in miracles, regardless of what I've been taught in my life, regardless of what doctrines I have chosen to accept, the bottom line is, I will never be able to rewrite 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. By His stripes you were healed. So I can live my entire life with sickness and disease and problems and afflictions. That's never going to change what my inheritance is. I have inherited this healing. Now, the healing started in the realm of the Spirit. I got born again. I started off with life. But the abundant life includes the healing for my body. The spiritual life started with accepting Jesus to be born again. But the abundant life includes my physical healing. So, I stand here today before you. I have worn corrective lenses, contacts or glasses, since I was in fourth grade. Okay? My inheritance is healing for my eyes. Now, regardless of what I've ever faced in my life, whatever physical thing I might be going through right now, it does not change the fact that I have inherited healing. You say, well, Brother Martin, I don't understand how it all works. You know what? I don't understand the banking system, quite frankly, but I still use banks. I'm not going to wait until I understand electricity to turn the lights on and off. I don't understand the formula about healing. All I know is my inheritance is by His stripes you were healed. So that means whether I access it or don't access it, whether I believe it or reject it, the bottom line is my inheritance is healing. Let's look at another one. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And look at verse 25. No, wait a minute. 27. John 14, 27. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." Now look at this. "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Okay? All right, now what's verse 27 telling me? It's telling me that I have inherited through Jesus peace. What's the opposite of peace relative to this verse? Being troubled and being afraid. Therefore, if I am living as a Christian now, if I am living in fear of anything, we're not talking fear of God. If I'm living in fear of anything, then you know what? I've not accessed my inheritance of peace. If I let my heart be troubled, if I'm worried and upset about things on a continual basis, and you know, some Christians are like that, that they've always got a prayer request of, you know, emotional problems, fear, and I'm worried, and you got to pray for me, just God's got to come through. What did Jesus say? "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not peace you get from the world, but I give you peace that comes straight from the throne room of God. That's the kind of peace that I leave for you." So you know what? When I get born again, I have His life, but now, not only do I have His life, I have the abundant life, which means I've inherited peace through Jesus Christ. So I can be worried, I can be fearful, I can let these, whatever the circumstances are, I can let them hammer me, I can let my family and the way that they act and all this other, I can let them, you know, put pressure on me, all this, my job situation, on and on I could go with this. But if I'm walking in worry, if I'm walking in fear, if I'm allowing myself to be troubled, then I am not accessing my inheritance of peace. Because I've inherited peace. What does this ultimately say? That no Christian should ever be worried or fearful about anything. If I'm walking into peace, my inherited peace from God, God's not worried about anything. Oh, He gets angry about sin, but He's not worried. He's not afraid. So if any of you, anybody, any Christian is dealing with this thing of fear and worry, then you know what? You're not tapping into your inheritance because it's there. Peace I leave with you. Let's look at another one. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Look at one verse here. It says in verse 5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." That word upbraideth means He's not going to chew you out for asking. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask God. He'll give it to you liberally, and He's not going to get mad at you for asking. So, what does this mean? It means this. If we live our days complaining about never knowing what to do, then we're not tapping into our inheritance of wisdom. This is not world wisdom. It is God wisdom, which supersedes world wisdom and can cause us to be able to do things in the world that go beyond the understanding of the natural mind, but bring about the results that are pleasing unto God. And God, through God's wisdom, can have you do things, make no sense whatsoever, then all of a sudden you come out the winner after everybody told you you were going to be the loser. How did that happen? I don't understand. I thought for sure that thing was going to flop right in your face. Well, it was God's wisdom, not mine. There are times in our life, for example, Somebody might come to me and say, well, Brother Martin, what's going to be happening in the Bible school? You know, Grace Ministries Bible College, what's going to be going on in the college 3 years from now? My answer to you is, well, I'm not really sure. Well, how come? You're preaching about wisdom. It's because God hasn't yet released to me the wisdom for what to do 3 years from now. But I can tell you this, 3 years from now, I'll be accessing my inheritance of wisdom to know what to do. You see what I'm saying? So therefore, I don't have to sit around and scratch my head and say, oh, I just don't know how this is ever going to work out. You're right. I don't know how it's ever going to work out, but I know who does, and I've inherited access to the wisdom of the ages so that I will be able to know exactly what to do and how to do it and where to do it and all this other. So therefore, when it comes to us as believers, if we run around, you know, oh, pray for me, I just never know what to do. I just never know what choices to make. And the frustrating thing on my part is, first off, I had to learn this. And if I ever get tempted to complain about not knowing, I remind myself, wait a minute, wisdom, all I have to do is ask. When folks come to me that should know better and complain about not knowing what to do, it isn't a matter of, you know, I'll just be honest with you. Sometimes I think people think I know more than God because they come and ask me to tell them what to do. Like I know. I don't. I can tell you how to find out. Tap into your inheritance of wisdom. I can't give you step by step everything you face. God can. So here we see that I have, as a part of my inheritance, the wisdom of God Himself. It never fails. So even though at this moment I may not know everything to do, I can ask Him for wisdom and He'll begin giving me, downloading information to me on what to do and how to do it. I'll be walking in His wisdom. Okay, now these are just a few of the different things that we have as far as our inheritance is concerned. Turn over to Mark chapter 11. There are two primary things that are keeping people from walking in their inheritance. And I'm going to show you those two primary things right tonight. Two primary things that are keeping people from walking in their inheritance. First off, look in Mark 11:23-24. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. The first thing that keeps people from accessing their inheritance is not believing it. That's the first thing. That's, well, maybe not the first, but that's, you know, that's one of the two I'm going to show you tonight. It's not believing it. There are a lot of people who don't believe in divine healing. So guess what? They don't tap into it. It's funny how closer some people get to death, the more they're willing to try anything. Well, maybe I should try this divine healing thing now that I'm 3 minutes away from death. Call one of those, you know, those Holy Ghost preachers. Call one of those Holy Ghost pastors to come and pray for me. Because, you know, our pastor doesn't believe in it. Let's get one of them that believes in it and see what happens. Whoa. Having a little conflict on the inside about your doctrine, are you? Well, one of the reasons that people don't access their inheritance is because they don't believe it. There are a lot of people who don't believe in the prosperity message. I could stand here tonight and tell you of a pastor that I know of that he refuses to preach and teach prosperity of any kind in his church. Blessings, financial blessings. He doesn't believe in it. He doesn't believe that, you know, Christians should be blessed. And the amazing thing is, this guy may be a millionaire. So go figure. But there are a lot of Christians that simply don't believe what's in the Word of God when it comes to all these things that God tells us we have access to, the things that are part of our inheritance. I mean, it's right here in Scripture. But it goes back to you believe it or you don't believe it. You accept it or you don't accept it. And one of the reasons that many Christians do not walk in their inheritance is because they just don't believe it. Why? What's the other one? First, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to show you two verses to illustrate this second reason. Two verses. The first one is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Paul says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Now, what we want to focus on is, it was a messenger of Satan, not a sickness or a disease. A lot of people teach the thorn in the flesh was a sickness or a disease, or, you know, eye infections and all this other goofy stuff. No, it was a messenger of Satan. Do you see this? Messenger, one who delivers a message. You know, think of, you ever seen those, the Godfather movies?
"Yeah, we're going to make you an offer you can't refuse. You don't do that no more, or we pay you a visit with a ball bat."
All right? That's a messenger delivering a message. All right? Satan sent Guido the messenger to visit Paul, to send him a message.
"Stop praying. Stop preaching. Or we're going to break your feet, huh?"
Did Paul care? No. Because he learned how to tap into God's grace. Another part of the inheritance. Hallelujah. But anyway, a messenger of Satan was sent to do what? To buffet him. To interfere. Now let's look at another passage. Another verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. No, chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 18. "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." So we've got a messenger of Satan sent to buffet, and now we see where Satan is hindering. What's the other reason? Other than not believing it, the other reason is Satan is fighting to keep your inheritance from you. So you've got people that don't believe it, and you've got people where Satan is fighting to keep you from accessing your inheritance. Think of it this way. Here's a door. And if you walk through that door, you're walking into everything that's yours, okay? Well, Satan, he's on the other side of that door, pushing to hold it closed to keep you from coming in. He's buffeting you. He's hindering you, okay? So it's not believing, and it's also not, and it's Satan trying to keep you from it. Now, how do we overcome both of these? There's a way to get past it. And again, we're not going to spend a lot of time on the ways to get past it, but I just want to point these out to you. Turn first to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, we're going to deal first with the belief. And like everything else we've seen tonight, there are so many different verses that we could use as examples and to learn from, but I'm giving you enough that should open your eyes. So first thing we're dealing with is the belief. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Okay? Now, let's restate this word faith. And let's just say that this word faith, for the sake of this message tonight, let's say that this word faith means believing everything that God has said belongs to you in your inheritance. So then, instead of faith, we put it like this. So then, believing that everything God has said is a part of your inheritance, is really yours, comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Does that make sense? So then, for me to understand, or for me to get to the place of truly believing that everything God has said is my inheritance, and really believing it, really believing in divine healing and so forth, comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, what am I going to hear when I'm hearing the Word of God? I'm going to hear my inheritance, am I not? Because if I'm hearing, by His stripes you were healed. He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. Jesus took their infirmities and bore their sicknesses. If I keep hearing these things over and over, over and over, over and over, I just might start believing what God said. Same thing with the prosperity verses, or whatever it would be. If I keep hearing these, then I can get to the place of believing. Well, yeah, man, I have inherited healing. Well, goodness gracious, yeah, I mean, I have inherited peace. Why am I all worked up about this? Why am I scared and worried about these things? Why am I worrying and sitting up all night, wringing my hands over my kids? Man, I can walk in peace over my children. I can walk in peace and believe that God is trying. He's not forsaking my children. Well, why did I even think such a thing? It's because you were walking in fear and you were worried. If you truly believe that God was working on your kids and doing everything that He could do to get them born again, you wouldn't walk around all fearful and worried. Now, instead of staying up all night worrying, you might stay up all night interceding and praying, but you're not going to worry and be fearful over it. And trust me, listen, you've got to understand something. God wants your kids saved instantly. It's not that He's holding back salvation. He's waiting on them to call on the name of Jesus. So they get to the place they call on Jesus. Man, God moves. He doesn't hold back or delay. He moves. So I have inherited peace. Faith comes by hearing or believing that all of my inheritance truly is mine comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God about my inheritance. So the more I hear it, the more I'm going to believe it. Now turn back over to Mark 11. Mark 11. It says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them." Okay, now, if I come to the place of believing that my inheritance is mine, Jesus says here, say it, don't doubt in your heart, believe that those things that you say will come to pass and you'll have them. So what things would I be saying? Well, the only things that are guaranteed to me are my inheritance. You see that? So if I'm trying to speak things that aren't a part of my inheritance, like, oh God, kill my mother-in-law, I can't take another day of this. Trust me, that's not your inheritance. The death of your in-laws was not inherited through Jesus Christ. However, when I go through the Word of God and I begin to see the things that do belong to me, that are a part of my inheritance, then I can begin to speak those things and believe that they'll come to pass. You say, yeah, but Brother Martin, I mean, you know, how can you really believe something like that? Because God said so. God said it in His Word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. If the Word of God says I've inherited peace, then I can speak peace, I can confess peace, I can believe that I'll receive it, and you know what? I'll start to walk in it. Because it's my inheritance. Same thing with these other things. We're going to get back to this Mark 11, 23 and 24 in just a moment. But when it comes to dealing with the belief, it's believing. It's getting into the Word to find out what your inheritance is and reinforcing it over and over and over again. And the more that I'm saying my inheritance, I'm saying the Word of God, am I not? And the more that I'm saying the Word of God, guess what's coming? Belief in the Word of God, or faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So it's a cycle that continues, see? If I have a problem believing in healing, then I need to keep speaking God's Word. Not man's doctrine, not what I preached, but I need to keep speaking God's Word. Well, God said in His Word, by His stripes you were healed. Therefore, God can't lie, it must be mine. So by His stripes I was healed. God said, my Father said, by His stripes you were healed. So I keep reinforcing to my spirit my inheritance. Okay, now let's look on the other side of this, dealing with Satan. Now, if I want to know how to deal with the devil, don't you think a really good place to start would be to find out how Jesus dealt with the devil? All right, one passage, Matthew chapter 4. And we could look at several, but we'll just look at this one, Matthew chapter 4. Verse 10. Matthew 4, verse 10. Jesus is talking to the devil. Remember, he's in the wilderness. The devil is tempting him and all these things. And in Matthew 4, verse 10, Jesus speaks to Satan and he says, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." So what did Jesus... Another passage renders it, "Get thee behind me." Okay. So what did Jesus do to mess up the devil? He spoke to him, did he not? He spoke to the devil. He spoke to him. He says, "Get thee hence," or "Get out of here." "Go away, boy, you bother me." He said, "Get behind me." I mean, he spoke to him. He spoke to the devil. And other passages in the New Testament where Jesus spoke to devils and they left, right? And the Bible talks about how at His word, devils screamed and took off running and all this other. Jesus spoke. He spoke to the devil. Now, if Satan is interfering with you as far as your inheritance is concerned, you have the right to talk to him. Now, I know some people say, oh, you don't want to talk to the devil. I've heard teachings along the line that could be kind of summarized like this. Oh, you don't want to give him that much respect as to even acknowledge his presence. Jesus did he not? He spoke to him, and not only did he speak to him, remember the legion? He says, who are you? We are legion, we are many. He says, oh, okay, go to the pigs. Jesus didn't have a problem acknowledging the existence of Satan or devils, nor did he have a problem talking to them. He spoke to them, and that's how he dealt with them. So now, we can follow that pattern. And you say, well, yeah, but are you really sure that we can do the same thing? I mean, after all, that was Jesus, you know, Son of God and all this. Well, if you're born again, aren't you a child of God? You better believe you are. And if you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ, if Jesus had the right to address Satan, to drive him away, then have we not inherited that same right? So we can talk to the devil. So I deal with my belief system, and then I begin to speak to Satan to deal with it on the other end. Let me show you another verse to confirm this. Turn back over. Prophecy, Isaiah 54. Isaiah prophesied about this kind of a thing. In Isaiah 54, man, I love this verse. Verse 17. It says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the what?
Heritage.
The heritage. This is your inheritance of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. This is prophetic. How do we become righteous? We accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We become the righteousness of God. And so he's saying, hey, listen, those that have become my righteousness, they have inherited the right to actually combat words with words. So what kind of words am I combating? Well, words of wrong doctrine that say that the prosperity thing's not for us, that divine healing is not for today, that you just have to work it out the best you can, and that whatever comes into your life, you just have to accept it as the will of God for you, and on it goes. Those are words that are condemning words. Because if I'm told that healing's not for today, I'm being condemned to sickness, am I not? So therefore, he says, listen, these tongues that rise up in judgment, you say, well, yeah, but how are they judging me? They're judging me to be sick. They're judging me to be poor. They're judging me to be worried. They're telling me that I cannot have my inheritance, so they're rendering judgment against me that I have to deal and hold on to and live with all the other junk. And God says, no, listen, you're going to rise up and you're going to condemn that. How do I condemn it? By speaking my inheritance and by addressing the devil. Get thee behind me, Satan. You know, I address it by saying something like, no, my inheritance is this. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, by Jesus' stripes, I was healed. That's my inheritance. So, Satan, you can't keep healing from me. You can't. I'm a child of God. The Bible says that my God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, let me just kind of throw in a disclaimer. God is not going to supply all your foolishness, okay? He'll supply all of your need. He'll help you through the foolishness, but He's not going to financially support foolishness, if you know what I'm saying here. Now, the Bible says, my inheritance, but my God shall supply all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Satan, you can't keep me from this. And I speak this word, get thee behind me, Satan. Because my God shall supply all of my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall do this. So therefore, Satan, you can't hold the money back. You can't. My bills are going to be paid, and I'm going to be out of debt. My body's going to be healed, and I'm going to walk in health. Now, healing, you listen to me. I've inherited you, and I'm telling you now, manifest in my body. Finances, I have inherited you. to deal with my needs. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, you get in here. You come in here. Somebody says, oh, Brother Martin, now that sounds, why would you talk to healing? Well, Jesus talked to sickness, didn't he? All right, why would I not talk to healing? Have I inherited it? Is it mine? Then why wouldn't I say it? Why wouldn't I? Didn't he say in Mark 11, 23, 24, if you say it and you believe in your heart, you'll have it? So if it's my inheritance, why wouldn't I say it? So when I begin to look at these things and I go through the Word of God and I see my inheritance and I begin to see these things that God has told me and I realize that primarily there are only two things that are going to keep me from it, what I believe about it and Satan trying to hinder me, and then I find out God's given me the answer for both of those things, I need to act on this. I need to start acting on it. I need to start speaking to the devil and telling him to get his hands off my inheritance, no matter what I'm trying to believe for. And I also need to begin to speak to my inheritance. Peace, I have inherited you, and I will walk in you. Peace, I inherited you from Jesus Christ, therefore guard my heart and mind through Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I begin to speak to it. If it's my inheritance, I need to speak to it. See, yeah, but Brother Martin, what do I do with this? I mean, you know, help me out here. I'm starting to see something. Okay, I'll help you out. I'm going to help you out in a big way. In fact, I'm going to put something in your hand that's going to help you out. I'm going to give you some sheets of paper. Those of you listening to this by tape, you can get a sheet of paper and do this yourself. But we're going to start off on this thing. You just list five things, five aspects of your inheritance that you want to see manifested in your life. I don't care what it is. Peace? It doesn't matter. Five things that you've inherited from God through Jesus Christ that you need to see manifest in your life. I've given you an example here. At the top, the instructions say, list five things you desire to see change. Then list at least three verses which reveal God's will pertaining to the change. Speak to the things you want changed as though they are alive. Declare God's will over them. Expect to see change. Now here's an example. It's an example that deals with finances. Here's what this person wants changed. I want a change in my finances. I want to be out of debt. I want to give more to God. Okay, very simply stated. So here are verses, 2 Corinthians 8, 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. 2 Corinthians 9, 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Philippians 4, 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And James 1, 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. One of the reasons that people struggle in the area of finances is because they don't have the wisdom to access finances, and they don't have the wisdom to handle the finances once they've got it in their hands. So it's not just a matter of having money, it's a matter of knowing where to get the money, and it's also a matter of knowing how to handle it once you've got it. You see what I'm saying? So now here we have these four things. And it says here, put these five down, your own five, doesn't matter what they are, and then you put verses on here relative to what you want, just like in the example. Yeah, but Brother Martin, you don't understand. Where am I going to find these verses? Well, a good place to start is the Bible. Hallelujah. Well, yeah, but Brother Martin, I mean, there's a lot of verses in the Bible. Why don't you just fill this out for me and give it back? You tell me what I need to do. You write down my promised verses and all this. And I see. We have just identified a major problem. You don't know what you've inherited. Okay, let's give you an example, okay? Think back to high school. Think back to the gymnasium in your high school, okay? Now think about that gymnasium. Think about walking into it. And in the gymnasium, all kinds of things in there. There are cars in there. There are tables. Some of the tables are piled high with money. There's another table over here that, say there's like a doctor and a nurse sitting behind it. And I mean, just all these different things, all kinds of stuff in this room, all kinds of stuff. And you walk into the room and you're looking around and you go, wow, look at all this stuff in here. Man, there's a lot of neat stuff in here. boy, I tell you what, I'd like to have some of this stuff. This is as cool as it can be. Man, this is cool. So you look around, you're in there for maybe half hour, 45 minutes, and you walk out. And there's somebody out there that you know. And they look at you when you walk out, and they ask, wow, wasn't that neat? And you say, oh, yeah, that was the neatest thing in the whole wide world. Like, all that stuff in there. I don't know why they put it in there, but, you know, that's pretty cool. And they say, well, yeah, but what did you get? And you say, well, what do you mean, what did I get? Get what? Well, out of the stuff that was in there, what did you get? What did you bring with you? Well, what are you talking about? What did I bring with me? Well, didn't you get your sheet of paper? What sheet of paper? All right, you remember the lady that was standing at the front door when you first walked in? Yeah, I remember her. Oh, yeah, I remember. She asked me if I wanted this piece of paper, and I told her, nah, I didn't want anything. I'm just, you know, going to walk in and look around. You dummy! You big dummy! On that sheet of paper, it had a list of all the things in the room, and beside all the things, it had names. And all the things that were listed beside your name, you got to take home with you. But once you walk out of the room, that's it. You can't go back in. Door only opens one way. He said, wait a minute, you telling me I could have had it? Yeah. I mean, here's, look at this sheet of paper. Look at there. See that? Table number 15, $8 million. Table number 3, new Corvette. Table number 16, lifetime medical care. And you didn't get your paper. No. Oh, man. That's exactly what goes on in the body of Christ. The Bible lists our inheritance. It's got all that stuff in there. And yet there are a lot of Christians who don't know about it or don't believe it. And it's not because God has changed anything. It's because they don't believe it. Okay, so now, what you have to do is come to the place of accepting whether or not you live with it or don't live with it, you have an inheritance. It's in God's Word. You need healing, you've inherited it. You need finances, you've inherited it. You need to know about your ministry calling and how to fulfill it. You've inherited that understanding, that wisdom, that knowledge. You've inherited that call. It's all in the Word. All of it. All of it. So whatever it is that you need, whatever it is you want to see changed, put it down right here. Five of them. Or if you don't want to put five, put three. It doesn't matter. Write them down. Then you put down at least five verses or three verses or, you know, but at least three verses relative to what it is you want to see changed. You start talking to this stuff. Start talking to it. Just like Jesus talked to a sycamine tree. Jesus talked to wind. Jesus talked to waves. Jesus talked to dead bodies. And things happened when he spoke. That's because he believed that he had received from the Father a mandate for these things to happen. Now, according to God's Word, we have inherited. God has given us a mandate of our inheritance. And it's in there. And I can tell you right now, you begin to do this, another way to put it is fighting the good fight of faith. What do you need? You need finances? Do it. The finances may come through a different job. The finances may come through, don't expect to hit the lottery. God's not going to tell you. The finances may come through a number of different ways. What I'm saying is start speaking to it. Start speaking to it. I heard a story not too long ago of a fella that he was going through a terrible time. He started doing this. Like what I'm telling you here, he started doing this kind of a thing. And I forget how long it was, but one day he got a phone call. Come to find out, there was a bank account in his name and he didn't know about it. And it had started off with an original amount years ago, well, the interest, so on and so forth, and the person said, would you like it? And what do you think he said? This works. It works. Now, again, if you don't believe it, you can keep living the way you are. But what I'm giving you tonight is an answer to see a lot of things change in your life. Keep in mind, you may put down here, I want to see my children born again. You aren't going to change their will and force them to get born again, but what you can do is change circumstances. You can come against, remember, speak to the devil, come against the enemy who's lying to them, telling them they don't need Jesus, that they don't need to trust in God, those kind of things. You can begin to speak to that kind of a situation And their eyes will become open sooner or later to knowing that they need Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Not just head acknowledgement, but a heart knowing. Whether they do or not now, that's totally up to them. But I'll tell you what, when you drive away the darkness with the power of the light of God's Word, there's a whole lot better chance they're going to respond to the gospel message and accept Jesus Christ than if the darkness remains. But what I'm telling you guys tonight, this works. You say, great, I'll do it, and by next week I'll have a testimony. Well, maybe yes. But it might, let's maybe 2 weeks, okay? Or maybe 3 weeks. The Bible talks about fighting the good faith. The Bible talks about don't be weary in well-doing. The Bible talks about, you know, continuing to do these things because in due season you'll reap if you faint not. This works. This works. You need healing in your body? Listen, I firmly believe, I just took my glasses off and you all got real fuzzy, okay? So don't get up and move around. You get me dizzy or something. I firmly believe that if I had known about this earlier in life, and if I had been throughout the years more diligent to do this about my eyes, that the healing would have manifested in my eyes by now. It's my fault. It's not God's. I have inherited this healing. That's a part of my inheritance. So I need to keep doing this. If I want to see this healing manifest in my eyes, I need to use the corrective lenses for everybody else's safety. But I also need to keep reinforcing this. I need to keep speaking to my eyes. You hear? Eyes, do you hear me? In Jesus' name, you're healed. I have inherited healing for you, eyes. Now you straighten up. Whatever that means, straighten up, corneas. Whatever that means, straighten up and don't need corrective lenses anymore. You see perfectly. Oh, Brother Martin, you're out there in left field with this stuff. Jesus spoke to a tree. He spoke to wind. He spoke to waves. How many more examples do we need? How much more scripture? You know what? It all goes back to what I said earlier. Don't believe. It's not believing. This works. This works. You do it. You heard of one-a-day vitamins? Well, how about 20-a-day confessions or whatever? This works. Make your list. Check it twice. Carry it around with you. And fight the good fight. You'll get to the point of having these things memorized. You'll be driving down the road. Speak. Speak to your problems. Now, when you pull up to a red light and people are next to you, you might want to watch how loud you're, you know, speaking to the things. This works. It works. And you can bring about change in your life if you do this. So, my responsibility has been to point this out and to encourage you. But I can't do it for you. But I can tell you now, if you do this, God's Word never fails. Never. And He's not a liar. That means we can see these things come to pass. Jesus said so. Mark chapter 11. Hallelujah. Everybody stand.